Chris.
Chris.
So this is a non-visual.
This is a non-visual, yeah. Occasionally someone pops up, you know, you'll see them, but we try and avoid it because if you're all looking at each other, you talk slightly differently. It's probably...
Is that right?
Well, I think so. I think, you know, if it's purely audio, I think it's slightly different.
Oh, don't worry. I'm happy not to see you.
Chris, I've done 39 episodes without any clothes on, so it seems to be working.
Yeah. So how are you, Chris?
Oh, I feel quite put out that I'm, was it 40 on the list, but never mind.
Also, you were second on my podcast, number two.
Oh, that was a long time ago. I was a young
Tom McGallagher, number one, and then you were two. So if that's a ranking system.
Yeah, that was definitely a ranking system.
That was a ranking system, whereas this one isn't. This is a looser thing.
That was face-to-face. That was real.
Yeah, it was good. We've got to do part two, haven't we? Every time I see you, I have to apologise.
No, when are we going to do that?
I know. Again, it's only because other life keeps getting in the way. So, Chris, I don't know whether you know what we do. We've got about 20 minutes worth of questions that we edit down to about 13 minutes.
You with the sort of Ant and Decker of advertising.
That's what we're hoping for.
Right, so you can introduce Chris, Dave.
Yeah, what can I say? Another one of my old bosses and partner of two of our guests. In fact, have you only had two creative partners, Mark and John?
You know what? I think that is... Yeah, I worked with John to start off with and then hooked up with Mark. Yeah, that was it.
Funny. Weird in a way. Good. Two to pair up with.
I never thought of it like that. Yeah,
that's weird, isn't it? So Chris set up probably the coolest agency of between 90 and 94 or whatever it would be.
It's 80s. It's 80s.
Was it late 80s?
Yeah, late 80s.
I'm chopping off the first 6 months as not being the coolest in London, but then after that. And then obviously since then directed a ton of amazing commercials. Could go into more detail, but I'm just conscious of time.
You just summed up my entire life.
Sorry to sum up your 68 years in only two sentences. So what are you doing at the moment? Are you on your boat?
Oh, you mean geographically?
Geographically, yeah.
I'm in 18 floors up in the middle tower of the Barbican, surveying the world below. So I've got like the perfect lockdown spot.
So does it look very different from up there than it used to, or are you so far up that it doesn't really make much difference?
Yeah, it looks much better, especially when the sun's out. It's quite weather dependent lockdown, isn't it? But when the sun's out, it's beautiful.
What looks different then, Chris?
It's just so quiet. Well, originally it was quiet, and then obviously I've got a good view to see how things, you know, how the traffic's getting heavier. And at the moment, now the sun's out, there are people sunbathing all over the place, and it's so quiet. It's so quiet. It's funny. It's a quiet day to day. About 2 weeks ago, it suddenly got a bit noisier. But up until that point, it's just so quiet. You can hear the birds.
Is it busier? Can you tell now that it's busier?
Well, I pop out every now and then on my motorbike. And, the bank holiday Friday was busy. No, it's a lot busier than it was. I mean, the first few weeks were quite interesting. I mean, I can get around town because I'm on a motorbike. I'm kind of perfectly isolated. And I pop down to Borough Market to get food every now and then. And I did a little, you know, I sort of thought, I'll go down this road, see what's happening. And I kind of did a little tour around. And there were people everywhere, even at the beginning. But, you know, not so much on the road. So you could go quite a long distance quite quickly. I know down on the river, for example, it's like it's just absolutely packed along the embankment in various places. That was back in the days when no one was going out relatively. There's more traffic than there was a few weeks back.
So do you notice a friend of mine lives overlooking the river and they sent me pictures that the Thames was flat, you know, it was like a mill pond, they described it, because obviously nothing's moving on it. Can you see anything with your amazing view that looks different?
Oh, definitely more birds. I mean, I was woking up the other day and there was a bird kind of singing, tweeting. I mean, it was really loud. It sounded like it was in my flat anyway. I snuck out, took a video of it. And then you could hear another one tweeting back miles away. So there's loads of birds, just an absence of noise. I've got a friend who lives on Putney Embankment. There's seals down there.
What, seals?
Yeah, swimming around.
Seals?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I went down to the boat the other day. That was mobbed down at Limehouse. We're allowed to go down for essential maintenance. So I popped down to Limehouse. Blimey, that was mobbed. I mean, there's loads of kids everywhere. You know, they don't really care about social distancing. So you get little gangs of teenagers everywhere. There's so many people jogging around London at the moment.
So, Chris, recommend something someone could watch that they might not have considered.
Parv Noses. I got a bit fed up with watching TV, so I've designed my own TV. I'm putting together an idea for a TV show at the moment. But let me tell... Oh, God. The hard bit is something you haven't seen. I mean, the one thing I'm enjoying at the moment, I think most things I've seen, everyone's seen already. But I tell you what's really classy, World at War with Larry Oliver, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing.
That just glides past. It's really well put together. I know it's been around forever.
Very old now, but yeah.
But my God, it's good. And every single episode I'm going, wow. I mean, the whole thing is really, really well put together.
So, Chris, if you could reopen one of these two things, pubs or Premier Leagues, which ones would you go for?
Well, I've got no interest in pubs. Oh, God, if the Premier League is like, that'll cheer a lot more people up, I think. Well, maybe not.
Certain kind of person.
I would have thought the Premier League would have been a little bit better for everybody. But if you think about how many people around the world are going to enjoy that.
Be good to have Jose back cheering everyone up.
I don't know. I saw, again, I made the mistake of seeing there was a Jose programme on. I watched it for about a minute and it was such drivel and nonsense. I mean, what's interesting, sitting there doing nothing or, you know, in quiet, is how a lot of the stuff that was normal is such bullshit now. And, you know, Jose was banging on about how Tottenham were helping the community. And
yeah,
it was pretty tedious. So, bring back the Premier League. God knows what's going to happen. I mean, that's the great thing about it, isn't it?
I know you're not a big drinker, but are you drinking more or less now?
Alcohol.
Oh, I don't. Alcohol, yeah, I was going to say, a couple of cups of tea a day. Isn't it funny how drinking refers to alcohol? No, not really drinking. No, I don't really drink much. I go out, I might have a glass of wine or something.
Are you cooking? Are you making sourdough? There must be a lot of sourdough in Barbican. I would imagine it's a wash with sourdough, isn't it?
No, I'm not interested in sourdough. I'm cooking. Like I said, I go down to Borough Market. The problem is I'm buying loads and loads of really interested in, you know, good, healthy ingredients, and you feel obliged to eat them. So I'm overeating at the moment. No, food is pretty good. I mean, the first couple of weeks I thought it might be a bit grim, you know, when you didn't really know how things were going to turn out.
Did you do a panic buy on loo rolls?
I mean, I've hardly got through any. I think I'm on my second one kind of thing.
But since isolation?
I just haven't wiped my arse for 6 weeks. No, yeah.
Do you? You're staying in all day.
No, I didn't do any panicking. Well, here's a question for you. When the next round comes, the second spike, what are you going to do in preparation for that one that you didn't do for this one? Because I don't think it's just going to go away and not come back again.
No, that's right.
So how are you going to prepare for it? And especially if the next one's much, much worse.
Is that your guess? It'll be worse.
I don't know. I mean, they say it's not the Spanish flu. Spanish flu, the second spike, was the most real killer one.
The terrible one, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it won't be Lou Roll.
Question, though, isn't it? Interesting question.
I think people are probably struggling mentally with it a bit now, dying to get out. And
we're going to be in this situation again. What are you going to do?
Don't know. What a depressing question.
No, it is interesting, though, isn't it? Because it's not going to sort of go away. We go back to normal.
No, that's right.
We need a number for Lou Roll.
We'll put him down as two. You're right at the bottom of the table, Chris, which is a good place to be.
Two used in 2 months.
Yeah.
That's, you might want to talk to people about that, Chris.
No, everything's very regular and normal. And
Chris, are you probably not a mask wearer, are you? Because I suppose when you're going...
A mask wearer. When you're in Broadway Market, do you wear a mask? Gloves?
Did you see Chernobyl?
Yeah.
Remember the naked miner scene? Oh, no, he wasn't naked at that point. And he said he picked up the mask and said, do these things work? And no one said anything. So he threw it back on the table and said, no, if they work, you'd be wearing them. And the problem at the moment is there's too much information and it's very hard to find the correct information. But from what I can gather, your chances of contracting it outside are absolutely minimal. I mean, the guy in the private eye, MD, he's really good and he did a great podcast on it. But I think they did tests. And again, you've got to check all this because you don't know where anything's true anymore. Out of the 7,000 people they tested in Wuhan, 2 out of 7,000 have caught it outside. Where you catch it, ironically, is inside when you're not moving for long periods, you know, on the tube, at home, at work or whatever. He was saying this week, even if you've got a jogger in your grill or a cyclist when you're out, they've got to be in your face for about a good 5 minutes for you've got any chance of catching anything. So you've got to figure it out for yourself. You don't catch it by just sort of walking past someone and breathing in a droplet. But if you wear a mask and you put the mask down, it's what they call a vector. So there'll be tons of disease on that mask, you know, to spread.
I like when we asked that question initially, you were comparing yourself 18 floors up in the Barbican eating organic food to those poor miners. Chernobyl.
I think it's a bit strong to compare me with a naked miner.
I don't know. That's what seemed to be. That's how you set it up. Like, well, you know, they went through that. I'm going through this. I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Have you got any good questions?
No, it's just the same old usual question. So I've got we've got another one, which is actually more interesting for you probably than for most people, which is, do you clap on outside your door on a Thursday?
I'm a pop banger. So the
bar, are you really?
Spectacular. I had a crack at the the vacuum cleaner tube.
So well, I swing that around so that it makes
no blasting, playing it like a trumpet. It was a lot of effort for not great deal of satisfaction. So I do a bit of pop banging, but my wooden spoons are getting a bit ragged.
On your balcony, presumably?
Yeah, I mean, Barbican on... they do it every night. There's one block here of quite a few people do it every night at 8. But the whole of the Barbican do it on a Thursday, but it's pretty spectacular.
Is it? Brilliant. I've not heard about it.
When we started, it was dark, you know, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Now there's like... God knows how much daylight left, but yeah. So there are loads of people out, and it goes on and on. It's really, really good.
That sounds like quite a heartwarming thing.
It's really good. It's really, really good. Highlight of the week.
Cool. Have you seen an ad in any form in this that you can remember?
I fast forward through them. Best of luck if you can find a good ad, full stop, inside or outside of lockdown. Have you seen a good ad in the last 2 years? He said, well, now you mention it. No, I mean, I fast forward, so I'm aware of these fucking sad selfie ads.
Drone-based.
And it's such a great opportunity to use your brain and come up with something really, really different, original, that can only be done now.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been done another time. And I don't know, there seems to be a sort of a lack of imagination. It's a great opportunity to do something really good that actually makes a difference or gives information out to people. And it's, you know, Mark Strong, this is a message from the government. It's so uncreative. I don't know how effective it is, but... That's a long answer to, no, I haven't. I mean, I'm sure everyone else has seen it. The best thing I saw was a mate of mine from a remote island near Thailand sent me that thing where they strung all the music together, all the voiceovers together. You know, that sort of 3-minute thing where they've taken loads of ads.
Yeah.
And it's all just the same stuff, just wallpaper. Maybe you could have done that 20 years ago, I don't know, but God, that was frightening, I thought, seeing that. Just how, it's just a wallpaper.
How samey. I mean, you could have done that 6 months ago and put together a very similar samey.
Well, I don't think that was just for COVID, was it?
That's what I'm saying. There is a COVID one that's incredibly samey.
I've been doing websites, and what you do is you probably know this, you go to someone like Squarespace, and they have a template. My God, they're good. But they're all the same, but they're really good, you know, so they're really tough to resist. So you can put together your website on Squarespace, but it's totally and utterly unoriginal. And it looks like a Squarespace website. And it's a little bit like that in the stuff I see on the box. If it's a car ad, it's sort of built on a car ad template.
Yeah. You
know, the people in it, the music, what happens. If it's a bank ad, you know, this... Bring out
their template. And, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, like I remember chatting a few years ago. I said, "Why do you only have name badges on bank ads? You know, every bank ad's got such and such branch manager smiling at the camera, but everything gets put into this is the music you put on the charity ad. You know, same old piano. Everyone is just copies everybody else instead of." Whereas, well, you know, back in the day, it was all about standing out and not being the same and being different. And so, like, God knows how many years later, you can say, blah, 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 Michael Jordan, and we know which ad we're talking about.
Yeah, it feels like there's less flavours out there now, doesn't it? As you say, there's a few templates that you use, but not such a variety of stuff out there.
There seems to be a dearth of ideas. There's no sort of real want to be original. Maybe if you were in a marketplace where people would say, I don't want anything original, just do me an ad, it's like every other ad. You don't need to do something original. Or maybe the things we're advertising aren't as interesting as they were X amount of years ago. And also, it's really, well, you know, it's really tough to come up with ideas. At any given moment in time in that golden age of advertising, there was a couple of teams in each agency who were good at TV. You know, not that many. It's such a specialised thing. And coming up with ideas, original ideas, is really, really hard.
So one last question, Chris. Have you discovered anything about yourself, having been locked in, that you didn't know before?
My life hasn't changed that much. I mean, it's pretty much, you know, it's a freelance, but...
It's
very similar. The only thing I've discovered isn't very profound, and that is if I have a cup of coffee in the morning, I'm a lot more aggressive than if I don't.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, I just noticed that when I'm going, but the only thing, it's usually when I've had a coffee, but I don't know whether I've discovered anything. Yeah, I wasn't very interested in politics before. Well, that's not a discovery, but
it's kind of,
I kind of was never very interested in party politics. It was just, what did George Carlin call it? The entertainment division of the military industrial complex or something. It's just it's just entertainment. But you know, all the people in the care homes getting wiped out and all the, and they're still just bullshitting and lying. And I mean, I've got a real distaste for that, that I suppose normally without a crisis like this, I, you know, probably wouldn't have noticed. You know, just this whole thing about the poor getting a rough deal, you know, with you're stuck in a flat with plastic inflammable fireproofing that goes up and kills a load of people and it sort of makes the news, and then a couple of years later everyone forgets about it. And when this started off, it was all, yeah, but the old people. And I was thinking, wow, this is interesting. They don't give a fuck about old people. Never cared. No one cares about old people. You know, out of sight, out of mind. And suddenly that didn't last long. And then what is it, like a massive percentage of people died were in care homes.
That's right.
Yeah. Without PPE. And it's more important for them to go on and toe the party line and say all the same bullshit and just hope everyone forgets. And I just hate that. And I definitely don't want to go back to the old world, as it were. But it's just, surely it's time to stop sort of professional politicians just fucking over the vulnerable. You know, we just let them get away with it because we don't care. You know, everyone's glued to their phones. And, oh, yeah, Grenfell, do you remember that? What happened again? Oh, I got, you know, oh, yeah, something about this, wasn't it? And no one's got any time to actually look in and go, what is actually going on? I don't know whether that's becoming political. For someone who's had no political interest, I don't know. But,
yeah.
And also, I think advertising's got quite a role, you know, could have a role in sort of educating people and bringing things to people's attention rather than just flogging crap.
Well, I mean, it's funny. The COI obviously used to be do some of the most powerful, best advertising out there, whereas now you see what the government's doing. It's absolutely, it looks like it's made by a primary school. It's ridiculous.
I mean, advertising has gone down the pan big time, but it's not just advertising, it's the whole world. I mean, I've been doing some stuff for people. I've just been doing an ad campaign for people outside of advertising just to help them out. No one's got any time, well, not even enough time to do a podcast. You know, everything's so fast. Yeah, that's one thing I've learned in lockdown. The world is going unnecessarily fast. And I don't know who it serves for everyone to be. Everyone's flat out all the time, but not really achieving anything significant. Everything, hurry, hurry, need to be done yesterday. It's got to be done. The client wants it. Blah, blah, blah. And everything's flat out. And it's fairly meaningless. And it doesn't really achieve anything. And nobody has time to notice what's going on.
All right, excellent. That was brilliant. Thanks, Chris.
Cheers, Chris.
See you later.
Thanks for your time. Okay, see you.
Bye-bye.